listening to our family, to Dad, and you're a true blessing, and I appreciate you more than you know. I can't thank you enough for everything you've poured into me and your prayers. I can't wait to go out to Oklahoma and have breakfast with you again, but I'm going to hand this over to you.
But all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. So I don't necessarily want that. But and I told, after hearing Brother Danny playing, I told Brenda, I'm not singing, not doing it, I'm not going up there. She goes, yes, you are, yes, you are. So am I on? No. I don't hear anything. Somebody turned me off. That's what they like to do. They like to just turn me off, you know. But anyways, I've not been around for 30 years. And, in fact, my first coming to New Life Ministries was just a little, just about 4 years ago. And got acquainted with, had already knew the Norris and had heard much about Brother Hall. Sister Hall was already gone on. And so I'd heard a lot about the Halls and came and just fell in love. Where's Cherry at? Wave at me, Cherry. Can you see me? See, I don't see very well, and so I see a little form back there. You know, I just fell in love, and they love me. Or some of you love me. The rest of you tolerate me. But anyways, it's been good. And okay, shut up, Jeannie. Do something. I do have a word that I feel like the Lord spoke to me when they first asked me if I could be here this weekend. I felt like the Lord had gave me a specific word to share with you, and I will try to make that as brief as I possibly can, because your stomach is probably growling. I haven't had breakfast either, so we're in the same boat together. And but I felt like this morning I woke up and this song was on my heart, and maybe it'll help you this morning. Another wave of glory. empty vessel. Fill it, Lord, another time. Oh, I am hungry for another wave of glory. It's the fresh touch you have promised would be mine. I'll put my chair up to your table, Lord. I'm ready now to dine. Fill it, Lord, another time. I'm just another empty vessel. Fill me, Lord, another time. And y'all are taller than I am. Y'all, I need a shorter podium. That's what I need. Anyways, Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, scriptures that you know, many of you know, and we've preached them and read them for many years, and I want to start out with just a couple of those verses. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. You'll have to bear with me a little bit this morning quickly because I am having some eye issues, and so I have to kind of get to where I can see this morning. So I don't like having to do like this. I don't like not be able to use my Bible, but I can't read it either. Acts chapter 2, hang on, we're going to get there just real quickly. Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Do I have any Pepsi drinkers here this morning? Do I have any Pepsi drinkers? Just one? Wow. Two Pepsi drinkers. Boy, I'll tell you, I picked a sore analogy this morning, didn't I? I thought I'd have more Pepsi drinkers here this morning. But you've been around long enough that you'll be familiar with some of the things I want to share with you. But believe it or not, when Pepsi was first invented and when it was first discovered, it was thought of as a very nutritious drink. Pepsi was kind of like, you know, a power surge. It was a power source. It was developed by a young man by the name of David Bradham that started out to be a doctor, and then things didn't go. He couldn't afford to keep going, so he ended up working part-time at a pharmacy. And while he was there, after he'd had to drop out of his pursuit of medicine, he ended up moving and opening his own drugstore. And it became the very place where Pepsi-Cola was invented in 1893. I'm going to share a little history with you this morning really quickly. I'm going to run through this as fast as I can because you've never even heard from the pastor yet this morning. And I know everybody's wanting to get on down to get something to eat. So I'm going to hurry through this. So hang on. Get the seatbelt on. Buckle up real tight. And if I don't wind this down real quick, Brandon's going to go, land that plane. And I can't even see you, see? So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Anyway, he came up with this drink, and they called it Brad's Drink, 1893. And this new flavored drink became an instant hit. And after 5 years, in 1898, Bradham renamed it to the now famous Pepsi-Cola. Now, at that time, it was genuinely believed that the drink was more than just refreshing, but actually a healthy cola. It aided in digestion, and it got its roots from the word dyspepsia, meaning indigestion. And that's where the first decade of PepsiCo strategy for their slogans was first derived from, for health and digestion. So for the first decade, Pepsi was marketed as something healthy for you to take to help with your digestive system. We've come a long ways, baby, since then. And so I began to look at, I got curious about this, and when the Lord began to speak this, what I want to give to you, what I believe God is telling New Life Ministries today. He has a word for you. And when he gave me that word, I immediately began to think about these slogans that Pepsi has gone through. And there's about every year to 2 years, Pepsi has changed their slogan. And I've got a list that long, and I'm not going, you can Google it. You'll be amazed at all the different Pepsi slogans that they have changed for their advertising. When they started out, in one of their first slogans in 1903 was exhilarating, invigorating, aids digestion. That's what their slogan was. By 1907, they changed it to the original pure food drink. 1908, they changed it to delicious and healthful. And so in the 1900s, they began to change a little bit, and then they started changing it more to something a little more satisfying, something more a little bit refreshing. And so by 1913, they said, drink Pepsi Cola, it will satisfy you. 1915, for all thirst, Pepsi Cola. And it goes on and on. And this one I thought was kind of funny. 1919, their slogan was Pepsi Cola, it makes you, I can't even say it now, scintillate, I think. Scintillate, that was it. Scintillate. Makes you scintillate. And I thought, what does it mean to make you scintillate? So I had to look that up, and it means to be sparkling and lively. So that you add that to that that other word you got. What's that? Pergora? What's that word he looked like? Pythagora? Plethagora? Okay, now I can't say it now. Look it up. It means sparkling and lively. Anyway, we see a trend going on through there. But now what I'm not going to read all these to you for sake of time especially, but by the 1950s, there was a shift. And we had the post-war type, and we had the type of emotions and attitudes. But it also brought a new demographic phenomenon called the baby boomers. Woohoo! How many baby boomers we got around here? And they were a new generation. They were a brand new generation. And so along with them, they embraced a new lifestyle with a conviction with what lay ahead was better than what lay behind them. That was their philosophy. That was their thinking. What's ahead is better than, because many of them had come, my father was a veteran of World War II. And so I came up in that era that the future was going to be a lot brighter than what the past was. And so with that in mind, 1963 came along the slogan, come alive, you're in the Pepsi generation. You're in the Pepsi generation. And through the years, every few years, they would come up and they would change their slogan every year to 2 years. But about every 10 years to 15 years, they would come up with another slogan that would have the word generation in it. In 1984, the slogan for Pepsi was the choice of a new generation. By 1997, it was called Generation Next. They used that word, generation. They had quite a play on that. In the year 2009, the slogan was Fresh Everything / Every Generation Refreshes the World. And so we see that they begin to play up on this word generation. They begin to use that as a change and a shift in what they were trying to market. And so I've come to tell you today that God is telling you today that you are now, you are a part of the now generation. You are a part of the now generation. I thought a while ago, and I Googled and looked for the scripture about our days and the lifespan and in Psalm, I believe it is, Psalm 90, and I didn't give them this verse back there because I didn't have it then. Verse 9 and 10 says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. I've already hit that. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet it is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." So I remember as a child and a young person growing up, hearing them say that after 70, you're living on borrowed time. I used to hear that quite a bit. So by that reason, I'm on borrowed time this morning in more ways than one. But anyways, let me just say this. I don't have time. This is going to shake some people's theology up a little bit. I tell young people all the time, probably I've told you this, Brandon, make lots of good memories, because if you live long enough, they'll be all you have. So I'm not against having good memories. But I don't have time to live in the past. I don't have time for that. I'm on borrowed time right now. And you know, by what little I can see out there, and if you're asleep, I won't even know it because I can't see your face. I was so sad because I couldn't see the video this morning. Brenda tried. I could not make out anybody on there. My vision is so bad I couldn't see them. So I can't see your faces. And so if you're asleep, just don't snore, and I'll never know it. But I don't have time. And by the looks of what I can see out there, you don't either. Most of you, or many of you, are on borrowed time also. And if you're not on borrowed time, you're clocking it up pretty close, some of you are. And you, those of you who are younger think, I've got a lot of time. You think so? Tomorrow's Memorial Day. Go to the cemetery. Look at the stones. Look at the ages. And then walk back and tell me, I've got plenty of time. So I don't have time to live in the past, and neither do I. That's why I said I'm going to rock somebody's theology this morning. Neither do I have time to spend a lot of time, anyway, about trying to live in the future. All I have is right now. You know, the Pepsi would like for you, you know, they would like to make a big play with you, the youth, they tried to, on the future generation. We had Generation X, Y, Z. I don't know how many we got out there now, all these different letters. I don't understand any of them, you know, all these generations. The only one I was familiar with is the baby boomers. I'm part of that one. But, you know, they would like for you to think, and Elon Musk, I mean, he's got the mind and the brain and all of that for the future, and has done some extraordinary things, but I don't have time. I don't have time to focus on out there. And it's too late to spend a lot of time on what's back there, because that's already done. That is history, and I love history. If I had probably reevaluated my education instead of being an elementary teacher, I should have been a high school history teacher, because I love history. But I love history. But history is exactly what it says. It's history. It's past. And I'm telling... Listen, I know I'm preaching to the choir, and I'm preaching to myself stronger than anybody else. There's nobody who hates change worse than I do. I still have trouble with songs on the wall. Sorry, you know. Give me the Redback songbook. I still like the songbooks. You know, I fought it. They drug me all the way through with all of that. And I don't like a lot of change. I like the old ways. They worked for me. It's kind of like somebody said, King James was good enough for Paul and Silas. It's good enough for me, you know. Now, some of you will get that later. But anyway, maybe you won't. But anyways, Brandon, your dad will explain it to you later. But anyway. But anyways, I'm not a real fond person of lots of change. I get used to things the way they are, and I like them that way. But I've had to learn to adapt because of history and change, it happens whether I like it or not. And so you have two choices this morning. You can stay stuck in the past and stay there because it's history. It'll never... As much as this beautiful video that was showed this morning and all of the beautiful things that have been said today and the tears that have been shed and the memory, it is history. It is past. And you and I are not a part today. Well, we are a part of history. But what we're living in right now is not the past. We're to live in the now. Now, on the other hand, and I'm trying to talk as fast as I can, Brandon. I'm trying to talk as fast as I can. On the other hand, the flip side of that history is, I got to get down here. You know I do. I got to get. And then I won't be able to see where I'm at up there. But anyway, whatever. I got to see if anybody's awake down here. Are you still awake? Are you awake, brother? Okay, kind of. We have spent several years, and there's all kinds of books out there, all kinds of courses that you can take, and online studies and college on the future of the church. Come on, stay with me. Where is your church going in the future? And I'm not against a vision. The Bible tells us that without a vision, the people perish. I know there's a vision out there that you and I have to have. But can I tell you today that what God is needing individuals today to do is to... Oh, I can't. You know what? Sometimes we get so focused on the future, we lose the now. We lose what God is wanting to do right now because our eyesight is so far out there in the future. My son-in-law's done gone home to be with the Lord so I can talk about him, and hopefully he'll never know what I say about him. But he was a graduate from Lee University and was working on his doctorate before he passed away. And he had a lot of, they've taught him a lot, and some I agreed with, some I didn't, about setting out these church. He was big in church growth. Church plants, that was always his heart, was for church plants. And they pastored three churches that they brought them up out of, really low states. And there was always a plan. And I'm not against any of that, so don't think I am. I'm not saying that I'm against church plans. I'm not against church visions. I'm not against, having a vision for where we want to be a year from now. Where do we want to be 5 years from now? But what I'm trying to tell you this morning is, if we're not careful, we'll get so focused on the future that we miss what God wants for us right now. Does that make sense to anybody this morning? Am I getting anything across to you this morning that God wants? I'm just going to be honest with you. Some of us ain't got a whole lot more time here. I mean, come on. By reason of man and by reason of days, none of us know what our time is. None of us. I buried my father when he was 50, my mother when she was 60, my brother when he was 48. And I've reached a ripe old age of 70, coming up on 71 next month. I'm old compared to what my family was. I mean, seriously. And I buried one husband at 42. The other one made it to, I don't even remember how old he was, 77, I don't know, something like that. I don't know how old he was. But anyway, so none of us have any promises. But just by reason of man and by reason of days and, you know, the way things and what the Bible says, you know, if the Lord blesses us, they ain't none of us got a whole lot of time left. And so I don't have time to be so focused on where are we going to be 10 years from now? Where is the church going to be at 20 years from now? I'm telling you, what I want to know is, where is the church now? You are a part of the now generation. You are a part of the now generation. And so don't sit there and say, well, don't do like me. Don't do as I do as I say, or something like that. You tell my kids, you know, don't do like I do. You do like I tell you to do. But, you know, I just lost that train of thought. Anyway, it'll come back around. But we've got to be focused on what God. Don't do like I often do. Do as I'm telling you to do. They'll say, well, you know, I'm up to this age, and there's not a lot for me to do, and I'm going to leave it to the younger generation, or, you know, or in the future. It just sends chills up my spine when we bring young people in and we say, this is the future of the church. No. They're either the church now or they're not the church at all. Hello. I don't care what age they are. I saw a little video of Miss Tara, not Tara, Thea, you know. And I remember, it's been quite a while back, but I think I saw once when Avery got up here and sang. Didn't she? A year or so ago, I don't know how long it's been, just quite a while back. Avery sang. They're not the church of the future. They're the church of now. How old are you, Brother Gary? 74. You know what? You're not the church of the past. You're not the church of the past. You're the church of now. Is anybody in here 80 years old? How old are you, sis? 81. You are not the church of the past. You're the church of now. Galen, how old are you? 37. You are not the church of the future, son. You're the church of now. We need to drop these barriers, and we need to drop these boundaries that we've set up on the past and the present and the future. And I taught that in school, you know, past tense, present tense, future tense. Forget all that. We are right here in the now. And God is wanting you to know today that you are, that this church right now, Brother Hall, is not about the past. Oh, we have, thank God for the memories. That's our heritage. But our ministry is not there anymore. I've heard lots of stories through, and I've heard the Norris talk back at the Nike base, you know, and those are wonderful memories and wonderful, it's a foundation. That's it. But that's not where you are now. Hear that key word now? You're not where you are. That's not where you are now. And yes, I know God has great things in store in the future. I know that. You know, when all of my life, I've heard preachers preach we're living in the last days. All my life. You know when the last days started? They started when the church started on the day of Pentecost. That's why Peter referred back to what Joel said. that in the last days, right now, I will pour it. You know, I don't believe I would be in error one bit. I don't believe I would be taking to or adding to or changing the meaning one bit if I were to read Joel. Actually, I want Acts. In Acts, where Peter said, "It shall come to pass." I don't think I would be in error if I would say, "It shall come to pass now, saith the Lord." Because that's when it began. That's when it began on the day of Pentecost. Now I will. You say, "Well, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure, but that wasn't for farther on down the road." Then you ain't read the book of Acts. It happened in the book of Acts. And it's continued on since then. That now, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. When? When? Now. You are not a part of the Pepsi generation. A couple of you are. But you are a part of the now generation, Pastor.
Wow. All right. My turn now. Okay. Just a couple of things. I want to read one scripture here that this is what the Lord had given me when we first started. But before I do that, I want us to pray real quick. Sister Lydia was in the congregation here earlier, and she got sick or something happened. Do you know what happened? Yeah. Well, the ambulance come and got her and took her to Hughley. And so her son notified us, and she let me know. So right now, let's just go before the Lord. Father, right now, we just lift up Lydia to you. Whatever's going on in her body, Lord, we thank you for a miracle, Lord. And we rebuke the enemy. Whatever thing has tried to attach itself to her, we break that thing off right now. And we thank you for wholeness. We thank you for healing. And, Lord, we just praise you. Lord, she's your child. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Give peace to her children, Lord, as they're there. And, Lord, just direct the doctors and whatever needs to be done, Lord, she's in your hands. And so we thank you now. We're going to praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right. One other thing real quick. This coming Friday night, the 30th, at Texas House of Prayer, we're having a night of worship, praise and worship. It's going to be so awesome. We're joining their church and just going to be there at 6 o'clock, and they're going to have food afterwards. So if you can, make plans to be with us over there. It's going to be an awesome time. Amen? All right. Let me just share 5 minutes. Here we go. Okay. Oh. Hold on just a minute. All right. So Lydia, we're praying. Just prayed for. She thinks it was a heart attack, or they think it was a heart attack. So we're praying. Amen. Amen. Lord, right now, we speak strength to that heart in Jesus' name. That whatever's going on, that it, God has it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Got it? Okay. Back in, for 10 years, 1985 to 1995, Darlene and I served in a church under the leadership, and we were a part of the leadership, and we were faithful, and God honored that. And as we served, we had a heart for people, and it grew more and more until it come that day. The Lord had been dealing with each of us. We knew that someday that we would have a church and to do that, step out into ministry on our own and do that. And so as we got closer in 1995, again, somehow the Lord doesn't speak to me in business hours. He speaks to me early morning. It seems like 3 o'clock is his time schedule for me. And anyway, he gave me this scripture. I had to wake up. I had to look at it. This is in Acts again. And this is the Macedonian call of Paul having that vision. And here's what it said. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And verse 10 says of chapter 16, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. And here's the words that jumped out at me. Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto him. Assuredly gathering. For Darlene, that meant that we were united in that. That we agreed on that together. There was no doubt whatsoever in our mind. It wasn't that I was thinking one thing and she was another. We were both in unity in that. And so we assuredly gathered to do that. And then verse 11, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course. Troas for us was that place where we were happy and we were didn't have any, you know, things going. We didn't have to make decisions on our own. It was a good place. It wasn't challenging, and we were happy. But the Lord had other plans. And so we had to loose from Troas, and we came with a straight course. And that straight course led us to where we are today. Now, was it all smooth sailing? No, absolutely not. Have we had storms? Yes, we have. Have we made lots of mistakes? Yes, we have. You know, were there vipers that came out of the woodwork? Yes, and their words bit. But guess what we had to do? We had to shake it off, you know, and go. So we're here now. Praise God. I don't know what the future holds. I ain't worried about the future. I'm sorry. I'm using ain't. You know, we ain't worried about the future. Nothing I can do about the past. How's that? Any mistakes we've made, things we've said or done, that's in the past. So I thank God for his mercy today, and I thank God for all of you, whether you were here in the beginning or you've just come. I'm telling you, God, Sister Brenda said it. God, he's got us, and there's a blessing for us. Thank you for being a part of New Life. You're, amen. All of us together make up New Life family. And so we're not through. God has still got some awesome things. And we're going to fulfill his purpose of what he has for us to do. Amen. And I want you to continue to be a part of that. Amen. Let's all stand together. Brother Danny, Sister Brenda, thank you for being obedient and giving that message earlier. Brother Danny, obeying the Lord of what the word was for you. But I love all of you today. And thank you, Brandon. Thank you all for putting this together. It was awesome. And, oh, my gosh, all those pictures. Beautiful time together. But I'm anxious to see what God has for us. Amen. And to see where he's leading us and guiding us. Amen. All right. Well, I'm going to land the plane. How's that? And we do have food prepared. I'll just tell you now, I don't think the air conditioner is working. It was working.